Would you open, I want to touchstone on one verse, because I think it's important. 2 Timothy 1:5. It's easy to miss this one. Paul is writing to his spiritual son, his protege, Timothy. Paul was not married. He had no biological children, but he had plenty of spiritual ones. This is really important, I think. And I love this one. It's easy to miss. Paul says to Timothy, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am persuaded now lives in you also. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this Mother's Day. Thank you for mothers, grandmothers, spiritual mothers, and we want to honor them today, Lord. They are such a great gift to us. And so, Lord, as we talk about this idea, this topic today, we pray, as we always pray, that you'd give us spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear. Everything you want to say to our spirits and hearts this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we pray all this only and always in Jesus' name, saying, amen. So again, welcome to Mosaic Church for you. Thank you, sweetheart. You who are here as well as online, mothers, grandmothers, any great-grandmas here? Oh, three. That's awesome. What a blessing that is. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about this topic, really, about mothers and motherhood. I mean, if you go from the beginning, from Genesis all the way to the end, you cannot possibly overstate the importance of motherhood. Each and every one of us here, it doesn't matter who we are, have been profoundly influenced by mothers, women in general, grandmothers, aunts as well. I saw Lexi didn't want to give away the baby Jack I saw this morning. She's a fierce auntie, and we got grandma here, and welcome Becca, new mama. This is what we're talking about today. They've taught us so many things, invaluable, life-changing things, and most of them are so simple and beautiful, aren't they? In preparation for this message, you know, my mind turned back to a number of events in my own life. I thought about my mom and my grandmothers and, you know, women who have influenced me profoundly on so many different occasions. I mean, sometimes it's deeply encouraging, sometimes it's really profoundly funny, sometimes it's downright scary. Moms can be scary, I've noticed. Love you, Mom. She's watching in Michigan. Moving on, I've shared this story, but it's so classic, for me at least as a guy, because sometimes we don't get it. I remember a number of years ago when my sons were young, they're all grown in a way now. Some of you remember me sharing this story at the time that the one time I was asked to be a chaperone for my son's youngest son's kindergarten class in Chicago. We were going to the Shedd Aquarium in Chicago. Really cool place. There it is. Yeah. And thinking about that this week, and my son's getting married next week. So it's like, huh. But we can't do this in America. How boring. We have to go to China. You know, I mean, God is so good. He doesn't tell us everything. It's on a need-to-know basis. Anyway, we went to the Shedd Aquarium. This was a long time ago. And usually that was Deb's domain, obviously, but she wasn't feeling well. So I got to attend this most blessed of all events. And when I arrived at the elementary school at 9 a.m. with Josh, instead of being brightly greeted by his teacher, this is what I got. I can't really do it, but I'll try. It was an African-American woman. And they just tear you apart. Where's Mrs. Smith? It's like, uh-oh, here we go. And I informed Mrs. Frazier, who is the former wife of NBA great Walt Frazier, that Deb was suffering from whiplash after getting hit by a Chicago bus. I can't make this stuff up, right? And I'd be taking her place that day. And Mrs. Frazier tilted her head down as only an urban African-American mother can do, and she looked over her glasses and said this to me, "Honey, your wife is good. I hope that you can keep up." Those were her exact words. And I, you know, I Well, I smiled graciously, felt deeply affirmed. Thank you, Dr. Phil, for the rest of the day. And I might add that I did keep up, hello, and even though she gave me the worst behaved kids in the entire classroom, and they were a handful, let me tell you. I've shared this. At the end of the day, we got off the bus, and I thought I was doing my due diligence, and so I put my head on the floor of the bus, and I looked for dangling legs. It's like, you know, I didn't see any dangling legs, so thought I was good. But unfortunately, it did not occur to me as a dude that there might be a child laying asleep on the seat, and the bus went away, and so did someone's child. And turns out Mrs. Frazier got a short suspension. And I was pretty much banned from all school field trips after that, which is saying something for the city of Chicago. I was banned. Here's my point this morning. Children need mothers. There are some things in life that guys just don't simply get or understand. The women are like, I know, right? Right? There is a reason why God intended for a child to have a mother and a father. Don't tell me that you don't need one or the other, okay? No, don't. You know, from the very beginning of the dawn of time when Adam and Eve walked the earth, the family is God's divine plan, right? Let's shoot straight this morning. Let's be honest. You know, the Church of Jesus Christ is probably the only place left in our society that supports that. Amen? Right? And we need to hold on to it. Supporting the traditional family. Now, ideally, the family will be made up of a Christian man and a Christian woman who are committed to raising children in a godly fashion, for whom those children are exposed to the gospel and biblical truths from their infancy. That's God's plan. Now, I know we live in a fallen world and stuff happens. I get it. Good news is that parents don't have to do this alone. That's why God gave us grandparents. God gave us aunties and uncles, as well as the church. Remember the old saying, it takes a village to raise a child? You still believe that? Right? What other institution in our society has the wealth and breadth of knowledge and experience to help raising the next generation of godly men and women other than God's church, right? Yeah. Now, to be sure, all kinds of things can happen. It's not uncommon, right, for one parent to be a believer in Jesus and the other not to, right? Let me warn you, ladies, don't say this lie. You know, I think he's interested in God, but I'll change him when I get married. No, you won't. What you see is what you get. Guys are simple creatures, okay? I'm not trying to put down the brotherhood today, but no. It's true. You know, this makes it harder on the family unit, but you know, this is where the Church of Jesus Christ can come in so powerfully, I think. And my wife's word today was, I thought it was so good. She told me today, it's like, yeah, we need to be praying for our children. I'm like, yeah. Guys are like, yeah, we should do that. But it's the women who are leading that charge, obviously. Now, This scenario has been played out since the beginning of the Church of Jesus Christ. And I was really struck by the Apostle Paul's young disciple, his protege Timothy, this week, thinking about this. And it seems like such a forgettable, throwaway verse, but 2 Timothy 1:5 kind of came to me thinking about this week. It's easy not to notice it, but Paul said this, I'm reminded, Timothy, of your sincere faith. Where did he get that from, right? That first lived in your grandma. How many of you had godly grandmas? Oh, look at the hands fly up. Big surprise, right? That first lived in your grandmother Lois and now in your mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded now that lives in you too. How about that? Oh, this stuff gets passed on. And I thought, isn't it interesting that Paul nowhere mentions Timothy's grandfather or particularly his father? That's kind of sad. So I dug around a bit to find out more information about Timothy's family. Acts 16:1. Here, good Dr. Luke tells us this. Paul came to the city of Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. Ah. So Timothy grew up in a family, what we would sometimes say today in the church, a family that was unequally yoked. Right, that's an old term, right? One's a follower, one's not a follower in Jesus. And Paul seems to be the only apostle who wasn't married and had biological children, right? But he was the spiritual father of Timothy and Titus and all these other guys, and he refers to Timothy as a son. And that's completely legitimate in the faith. It is so true. There's a reason why, isn't it funny? I mean, Roman Catholic priests are called father, and they're not supposed to have children, but that's a whole nother topic. But moving on. You know, I'm reminded of beautiful Christian women. I was reminded this week of a woman that was near and dear to my heart, Miss Barbara Perkins, important part of my church in Chicago, never married, never had children of her own, but she poured her life into hundreds and hundreds of children, probably thousands, actually, I wouldn't doubt. When we've... You know, you never know what God's going to do. When we first, I was doing doctoral studies and we showed up at the church first Sunday, and Zach was like 11 months old. He's going on 30 now. But sometimes it still feels like 11 months, but that's another topic. But he was kicking up a fuss and didn't want to go into the church nursery. And Deb was tempted to keep him in the sanctuary, you know, crying, whatever. Miss Barbara was like, old school, and she would have none of it. And I'll never forget she said this to us. This probably wouldn't fly anymore. But she said, give him to me. You both are teaching him bad manners. And I was like, the woman is right. Yeah. Give him the baby. And she was awesome, right? And we did. And she became a spiritual mother to my sons, taught them the scriptures from their youth, from their infancy, did that for hundreds of children. She did it for 70 years. Spiritual mother, right? Isaiah 54:1 says this. This is the verse I have for Miss Barbara, at least in my mind. O woman, sing, you who never bore a child, burst into song, shout for joy for you who were never in labor, because more are your children than those that you would have had with a husband. Amen? Wow. You know, you cannot overstate the importance of mothers, grandmothers, spiritual mothers in the Christian life. Bible talks about it a ton. Got out my Strong's exhaustive concordance, you know, Dr. Strong. I mean, he compiled this thing before computers. I mean, I can't believe it. If you've ever seen a Strong's, it is exhaustive. And if you drop it on your foot, it will break. And he compiled this all by hand. He even counted the the number of definite and indefinite articles. Yeah. How many times the word the and a came in. I mean, it's just like, wow, that's craftsmanship, that's scholarship, old school, you know? And I found this, that the Bible talks about over 450 references to wives and some 325 references to mothers. And we've talked about this before, but it's worth mentioning again. If you study the lives of biblical kings, both of Israel and Judah in the Old Testament, I notice almost every time the mother is mentioned. Something is said about the king's mother. Here's the bottom line. When the mothers were foreign-born, sorry, Lima, but she's a believer, so it's all good. If they were foreign-born, they were taught to inevitably worship false gods, because it's the mom that's that spiritual foundation. You know, dad's out working and stuff. And the whole thing started with the great King Solomon himself, 1 Kings 11, right? Here's the guy who's supposed to be the wisest man who ever lived, but he loves many foreign women who worship false gods. That was his Achilles heel. Right? His father, King David, had warned him to obey God's commandments. How many of you had parents, grandparents, obey the Lord, right? This is not a suggestion if it feels like it. No, obey God. Bible says Solomon had an Egyptian wife, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite wives. You know, for the life of me, anybody watch that silly show, Sister Wives? It irritates me. It's like, wow, he gets to have four wives. He's an idiot. In the beginning, God made them male and female. You know, and it's like, he's such a tool, speaking of the video. I mean, they're just pushing him around, and now three of them got wise and divorced him. Now he's married to one wife because only one will put up with him, I guess. I don't know. But side issue. Here's Solomon worshiping false gods through his foreign women, marrying lots of different ones, right? Here's the point. God told his people not to intermarry with these people because foreign spouses would cause them to turn away from God in idolatry. And you know, the children produced from such unions would be raised in idolatry, and you start a cycle of future generations of spiritual unfaithfulness. See how this works? It's really simple, right? Solomon and most of the later kings began to worship Baal and Asherah, the storm and fertility goddess. He worshiped the gods of Moloch and Chemosh, whose worshipers actually sacrificed babies and children in fire. Yeah. My whole point in mentioning all of this stuff is, again, you cannot underestimate the importance of godly mothers and grandmothers in the raising of the next generation. And here we have a great example in 2 Timothy 1:5, right? His godly mother Eunice, his godly grandmother Lois, Paul mentions, to his spiritual son. All right. Kind of like the time, Billy.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So a little girl asked Mama, here, basic question, Mommy, where did the human race come from? Mother answered this question with all the wisdom of God's word, the Bible. It said, God made Adam and Eve, and they had children, and so all of humanity was made. 2 days later, the little girl asked her unbelieving father, and he said, many years ago, there were monkeys and apes from which the human race evolved. Poor little girl was so confused, went back to Mommy and asked the honest question, Mommy, how is it possible that you told me that the human race was created by God, but Daddy said we were evolved from monkeys and baboons? And her mother answered kindly in reply and said, well, dear, it's very simple. I told you about my side of the family. Daddy was telling you about his side of the family. You know, I and many start their day, you know, just with a brief devotional. If you don't have a time with Jesus every day, it can start so simple. Get you a daily bread back there, and it's keyed to the day with a scripture and a story and a Bible application lesson. Every once in a while, I'll highlight them or pull them out and put in my sermon file. I remember our daily bread writer, Lisa Morgan. I've really enjoyed her little devotionals over the years. Shared her joy in being a grandmother, saying this, and I quote, she said, hand in hand, my grandson and I were skipping across a parking lot, and we were looking for a special back to school outfit. He was a preschooler, and he was excited about everything. Isn't that cool? Little kids are excited about everything. We're so jaded. The world sucks. Little kids are like, this is awesome. What now? You know, and I was determined, Lisa said, to ignite his happiness into joy. And she said, I just saw a coffee mug that said this. And this was interesting. Said, the coffee mug said this, grandmothers are moms with lots of frosting. You like frosting? If you don't like frosting, leave. Well, you don't have to, but grandmothers are moms with lots of frosting. And she said, frosting equals fun, glitter, and joy. And that's my job description as a grandmother, right? Then and more. My job as a grandmother includes the frosting moment of a back-to-school outfit. See, these are the simple dailies, right? Even more, like Timothy's grandmother Lois, I'm called to the frosting moments when I share my faith. Right? But yeah, and you better, you know, it's like she said, bowing our heads over chicken nuggets. Are nuggets chicken? You better pray for that. Noticing the angelic cloud formations in the sky as God's works of art, chirping along about a song about Jesus over the radio. Let's be wooed, she said, by examples of moms and grandmas like Eunice and Lois, and let our faith become the frosting in life. Why? So that others will want what we have. Amen? Well, happy Mother's Day, Mom. She's watching from Michigan. I'm glad I had a mother who read Bible stories to me, who taught me my first prayer, sent me to Sunday school when I didn't want to go. Oh, don't make the children go to church, you know. Yes, make them go to church, please, right? And she still prays for me today. I'm glad I had a grandmother who explained the way of salvation and led me to a personal faith in Jesus. I'm glad I have a wife who loves Jesus and continues to pour so much time and love into our two sons, as well as the children currently upstairs. But as is increasingly common, children move away for jobs, as you know. They're unable to see their moms and grandmothers as often as they would like, or as mothers would really like, right? Kind of like the time, Billy.
Oh, here's some.
Yeah. John, a man named John once phoned his mother out of state on one Mother's Day. He hadn't talked to her in some time. "How have you been, Mom?" the man inquired, to which the mother said, "I'm very, very weak." And just like a man, he stupidly walked into the trap, the ambush. And he said, "Oh, Mother, why are you so weak?" To which she replied, "I haven't eaten in 23 days. "That's terrible," muttered the son. "Why haven't you eaten in 23 days? To which the mother, she snapped the trap shut and she said, "Because I didn't want my mouth to be filled with food in case you called to see how I'm doing." Ever had that call, guys? And so, especially to guys this day, I want to help out the brotherhood. You know, if you are still fortunate to have a mom or a grandmother alive today, here's your friendly pastoral reminder. Call them this afternoon, please. Tell them how much you love and appreciate them. How about that? And if you don't, for others, take a moment today to remember and give thanks to God for mothers, grandmothers, spiritual mothers of sound Christian faith, as Timothy had. Right? He didn't seem to have a dad of faith, but he sure had a mom and a grandmother, and give thanks. You know, sometimes we complain about what we don't have. How about praise God for what he's given? Amen? Come on, right? And we want to honor mothers of our children for all they've done and all they continue to do in Jesus' name. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this bright and beautiful day. What a gorgeous day it is to celebrate Mother's Day. We get to live in such an amazing piece of creation. We are grateful. And so, Lord, we just want to take time today to honor you and to thank you for moms and grandmothers and spiritual mothers, aunties, and other ladies who have just poured into our lives, Lord. We are so grateful, and we want to continue to honor them today. And so, Lord, we just invite your presence into our midst, and we just thank you for all of this and more. In Jesus' name, saying, amen. Amen. Amen.